Sisters and brothers, Scripture offers us words of life that lead us to the word of life we know in Jesus Christ. And so we listen then for God's guidance toward that word in this lesson. Our reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel. It's in chapter 21. Jesus entered the temple in Jerusalem, and when he did, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching. And they asked him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you a question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men?" And the leaders of the temple argued with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we are afraid of this multitude of people here before us, for all of them hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither then will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And then Jesus shared the following parable. He said, "What do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And that son answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, that son repented, and he went. The man went to a second son and said the same, and that son answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. And so, which of the two sons did the will of his father?" And the leaders of the temple and the people all said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But those who did believe him, the tax collectors, the harlots, their lives were changed. And even when you saw that, you did not afterward repent and believe." Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. You will have gotten the sense from listening to the scripture reading just a moment ago that a lot of churches around the country today are going to be talking about some version of authority and Jesus' authority. I'm going to take us in a little bit of a different direction today and try to think about the idea of showing up. Woody Allen is the person who once said that 80% of success is just showing up. I knew that quote. I didn't know it was Woody Allen. Kind of changes it for me a little bit right now. Anyway, 80% of success is just showing up. And this week I've been thinking about how much of being a Christian really comes down to showing up. As I said when we first were gathering, I'm delighted you are here this morning, whether you're here in person or virtually. I love it when we get to be together, and the more of us there are, it's not just merrier, it's more than that. We know it's more real. It's more of a true reflection of life in all of its breadth and its complexity. When people show up, worship goes deeper and gets further as we take the risk of getting real and learning how to be vulnerable with God and with one another. But again, that's not where I want to really stay this morning. What I want to think about is actually how faith teaches us to show up, but not just for church. What I want to think about is how faith teaches us to show up for love, to show up for care, to show up for all those moments in life when something happens and, you know, we are who we are and our first thought might be, ugh. And yet something pulls us in or pushes us out. There's something that gets us moving, and whatever it is and however it speaks the message that we need to be where we're sent, we go. We go there to offer, well, you know, we're not always sure what, but we go, right? We go. We show up. It's a vision of discipleship that Jesus offers us in the scripture that you've heard this morning, which is from Matthew's gospel. And for Jesus, it's actually a Holy Week story. The next installment after Jesus arrives in Jerusalem for Palm Sunday. And you'll remember, of course, the Palm Sunday story. Jesus rides up on that donkey, goes to Jerusalem, shows up in Jerusalem. And in Matthew's telling, he goes straight to the temple. And when Jesus arrives at the temple, truth be told, he arrives with a bang because he takes it upon himself to go flip over the tables of the money changers in the outer courtyard. And he says, and you'll remember this from Easter week, he says, "Scripture says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves." And then off he goes again. But the next day he's back. He's right back in the temple. And it's that next day when he returns that he teaches his disciples with this parable about a man with a vineyard and two sons. And I'll be honest, in my own mind, the way this parable sits with me, I kind of flip the order of who goes first. I'm an English major, I kind of do that, sorry. But in my mind, the man says to the first of those two sons, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And the son says, "Sounds great. I'll see you out there. But you know," somehow he ends up falling into his laptop and, you know, he's spending the day. Maybe he's reading articles from the, you know, one of the Harvard Business Review or Bloomberg or whatever. And, you know, he's reading, spends the day, you know, reading about getting to yes or taking the view from the balcony, all that stuff, what have you. He doesn't make it to the vineyard. But as the father's on his way out the door, his keys in hand, you know, kind of uncool dad hat on his head, he runs into the younger one, the second son, the one who never much wanted in on the family company and all the stuff that it does. Nevertheless, dad's being dad, "Come to the vineyard and work today," he says. And the second son says, "You know, love you, dad, but sorry, man, hard pass." And yet, before long, something happens for that son. Something inside. 3/4 into his first cup of coffee, standing there in an empty kitchen, which he realizes has been paid for by the bounty of a vineyard he hasn't seen in way too long, that second son decides, "I'm going to show up. The rewards probably don't come right away." When he does show up, truth be told, when he gets out there, he probably stinks at a lot of the actual work. He probably feels every inch of being the owner's son, the awkward one who wasn't raised to it, trying to be helpful, not sure, though, if he's actually helping, not sure if everybody's just kind of being nice. And that's not easy, to dwell in that kind of space and to feel that kind of feeling. But Jesus sees it differently. Jesus sees something much more fundamental going on. What Jesus sees is that that second son shows up. And what Jesus wants us to see is that 80% of discipleship is just that. It's leaning into the discomfort of what people feel ready to share, ready to ask. Knowing that what you have to offer in the moment may not be enough, but that faith means offering it just the same and seeing where it goes, where it takes us. And this is something that the people in the temple seem to find so hard to understand. Because what Jesus is saying is that what matters isn't principles, not vague principles, but something more concrete, something that can only be embodied, something that can only be realized in actual gestures, actual presence, actual journeying together. What matters for Jesus is meeting actual people where they actually are and not holding on to where maybe they should be or some notion of, I'm here just to help the good ones, the right ones, the appropriate ones. I'm here to help. I'm here to help. And this is what the second son is able to lean into. Because in deciding to go to the field, even though he may not want to, he decides to open himself up to the messiness of what he finds rather than hold back. It's not really how it was working, at least officially, in the courtyards of the old Jerusalem temple all those years ago. In the old Jerusalem temple, you know, there would have been regulars. And the regulars maybe, you know, they probably crossed paths all the time. There's some indication in Scripture that they did. And you can imagine this group where they're all together. They're all so used to crossing paths each and every day. And there they are, and they nod to one another with that kind of familiar, oh, hey. And yet, while they are present alongside one another, what Jesus is trying to say is that showing up is actually different than that. Showing up, as Jesus seems to imagine it, in fact, is a kind of a thicker concept than just that. It's not about being in the right place among the right people. It's not about public, what we would say in sociology. It's not about public religiosity. Jesus doesn't set a lot of store by that. It's about bringing whatever we've learned about love, whatever we've learned about care, whatever we've learned about emotional generosity out into the field and praying that it will make a difference, believing that someone will need it. Because Jesus is here to remind us that love, genuine love, generous love, generative love, all find a place beyond the sphere of our own immediate interests and push us into places where we may not see ourselves at first, or maybe on some level even wish to go. That being the case, the issue for Jesus is not that we get there late, The issue is whether we listen to his call and seek to go where he leads. Now, as you receive that, as you let that kind of filter in, if you're like me as a listener of sermons, you probably are sitting to yourself, all right, so where am I supposed to show up? Where is that place? And maybe it's not all that far, right? Maybe it's not even all that strange. Maybe that's the strangest thing about it, is it's not strange at all, right? I mean, maybe showing up means doing the dishes without being hounded. That's an autobiographical one. I do that first. Liz is watching from home. Maybe it's making time, reserving energy to receive how someone else made it through their day. Maybe it's keeping informed about the world at a time when so much is so upsetting and the temptation to just distract ourselves looms so large. Or maybe it is, in some way, lending your time to the work of justice, or more personally, maybe it's in asking for help, in being willing to receive in a world that can make so much of self-reliance and has so many broken ways of naming need. Whatever it may be, whatever is percolating for you, Jesus is calling us to show up. He urges us to be the ones who make it out to the vineyard somehow, who take up the work, who ask the questions, who live in the ambiguities, and who find the companions who can remind us that we're never truly alone in the struggle, much less in any triumph that could truly be called godly. It doesn't matter if you're late. What matters is getting there and learning to offer what it is you might and I might, and how you come to grow in that offering. So, like we said, Woody Allen, 80% of life, pardon me, 80% of success is just showing up. But the kingdom life teaches us that faithfulness isn't measured by success in any simple way, but by the depth of our willingness to give, our willingness to get out there, even if at first we may not want to. Our faithfulness is measured by our commitment to showing up wherever we are needed, praying that God will give us the words and the skills, and above all, the heart to respond to whatever needs we find, and to find joy in doing it. May it ever be so. Amen.